He came here about 2005, and he was baptized here. And he taken over the youth because that's his calling. His calling is to teach. That's what he is. He's a school teacher. But his much more than that, he teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to these young people here in this church. And I just appreciate the fact that he takes his free time and dedicates it back to Jesus. I appreciate it. Tony, come on up.
Well, good morning. I'm excited to be here sharing, speaking. Pastor asked me a couple months ago, and I wasn't sure if, you know, led to do this. I prayed about it. Pastor actually put a little bit of pressure on me, and here I am. And just a little preface, I've actually shared this message already with the youth group, and I thoroughly enjoy the direction that the Lord is taking our youth group with the leadership, Mike, Crystal, my wife, and Jennifer, and just we have a great group of kids. And we have a lot of cool things coming up this summer we're planning. We're going to NYR again. We're also taking a group to Camp Barnabas, and just can't wait. That's going to be a busy summer, but there's going to be a lot of windows opened by God and a lot of opportunities to press into the kingdom. And today, the message, waiting, faith and waiting on God. And this is the year of hope. This is the year where we're believing, hoping on God to move in our lives. And that's the way we should be always, anyway, if we're following Jesus, if we have committed our lives to Christ. And I'm going to start off with a lead verse, and this is in your notes. I might have tricked you all maybe a little bit. You might have thought Pastor Ron was speaking today with the notes, and I kind of styled it after him, but maybe the font tricked you. I don't know. So the lead verse, wait for the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm waiting on the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Waiting is actually one of the easiest things we can do because it doesn't require a whole lot of energy, but it's also one of the hardest things we can do. And me personally, I'm not very patient, even though I've been told I'm a very patient person with kids and students and all that. But personally, when I want something, I want it now. I want it here. I want it right now. Give it to me. I want it. And in your notes here, it says some facts on waiting. And I found this kind of interesting. I looked up a few facts on waiting in general and actually how we spend our life in general. There's one thing that I thought was interesting. 25 years we spend sleeping, something around there, 20 to 25 years. And then this fact here, the average person throughout their lifetime spends 5 years waiting in lines. And I'll talk about lines here a little bit later. And then roughly about 6 months of that is waiting at traffic lights. If you're living in a larger city, that's going to be a lot longer. Quick story. So my wife and I, a few years ago, we went up to Chicago, and I don't know who thought of this, me, but we decided to go into Chicago on a Friday night, 5 p.m., and literally just waiting to get into the city for about 2 to 3 hours. It was not a fun time. And someone was not happy with me. So anyway, also another funny story. Joel brought up the fact that I'm a teacher. I teach at Mexico Senior High School. And it's a joy. I love it. It's one of my passions in life. First and foremost is Christ. But early on, I've been teaching for about 10 years now. Early on in my career, I actually learned a hard lesson. And as a rookie teacher, I made a lot of mistakes. One thing that I had in my classes, which you guys aren't going to believe it, I had students that like to talk. Okay, they love to talk. They love to talk over me. I'm trying to instill knowledge. I'm trying to instill, you know, facts and history and social studies and all that. And one thing I would do is I'd look at this one student and go, I'll wait. I'll wait for you to finish your conversation. And this student, he didn't really like me very much, by the way. He's like, okay, Mr. Senor, I'll wait. I'll finish my conversation. And I just went, get out. So anyway, so some people are more patient than others. Some people can wait. Some people actually want stuff here and now, right now. And I actually found a pretty funny example. It's called the marshmallow test, and we're going to check out a short little clip.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really
good. So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
So yeah, that's pretty funny, right? Pretty funny stuff. Now, I look at that, and I actually showed the youth this video as well. They thought it was pretty funny, too. But I look at this. You know, there's some people that want things here, now, right now, instant gratification. And then there's those who can wait for something better. And sometimes God wants us to wait for something better. Sometimes God has something better for us if we can wait. Now, a few things that I kind of thought up of some examples. And I actually was thinking of, we'll get into the scripture later, the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. And here's some examples of the here, now, I got to have it now, versus waiting on something that God wants us to have, something better. Premarital sex, that's something that this world, marriage is kind of an anomaly, especially under God, especially in the church. Loans versus savings. Now, I understand that we need loans in certain situations, especially for, you know, purchasing a house or cars or education, but just going out and getting money and spending it for the heck of it is not a good idea. Credit cards versus cash now. Well, if you're going to have cash in your wallet, you're more apt to basically save it, keep it, be more frugal with it, opposed to a credit card, just swipe it. Oh, there's some numbers on the screen. That doesn't mean anything to me. And then this one's kind of appropriate to Marvel fans. Spoilers versus actually watching and waiting. Okay, so I won't spoil anything, I promise. And then also kind of humorous, Six Flags. We talked about waiting in line earlier. Word of advice, don't take a group of teenagers to Fright Fest, Six Flags, you know, during that whole season, because literally you're going to be waiting in line for about the majority of the day. And there's something called the Flash Pass. Have you guys ever heard of that or seen that at Six Flags? Where you could skip the line. Well, I wish I would have skipped the line entirely. We rode 5 rides that day, by the way. But anyway, I digress. And God, sometimes it is very hard to wait on what God has for us. Sometimes it's very difficult to wait in general for anything. And we want that thing, we want whatever it is now. And it's very hard. Now, I'm actually going to share something very, very personal with you all. This is something very difficult. I shared it with the youth group, and the Lord actually pressed this into my heart beginning of 2019. And first of all, Aaron, can you stand up? It's my lovely, beautiful wife. And actually, my mother's here as well. So very blessed. And Aaron and I, well, first of all, Aaron grew up in this church. And she went, you know, all the way from a baby. Well, was it a baby? When did you start coming here? 8 or 9. So she grew up in the church, though. And she waited. She waited, and we actually met through, it was called 1830 back then, Young Adults Group. And we got married in this church. Pastor Ron married us up on this stage. And, you know, we've gone about our life. Aaron is actually working at the women's prison in Vandalia, Missouri. And she's a case manager there. She processes the new inmates. And I'm a teacher at Mexico Senior High School. And, you know, we've gone about our lives. We've been serving the church. We've been trying to serve the best that we can, serving in youth, serving in this body. And, you know, we've purchased a home. We've done the whole, you know, get cars and everything, live our lives, try to glorify God in everything that we do. And for the past 4 to 5 years or so, Aaron and I, we have been trying to have a child. And it's been very, very difficult. It's been a very difficult process for us, for me, and for Aaron too. And we're getting to the point where I'll talk about what God has shared with me and told me what to do. But it's getting to the point where we've got to act, we've got to do something now. But we are waiting. We're waiting on God. We have been waiting on God. We have faith in God. I believe in God's promises. I believe in His Word. I believe in His Bible. And I believe that He has an answer for us. And we're in this waiting process. We're in the middle of this. We've been in this waiting process for years. And the Lord impressed on me, it was in December of 2018. The nice thing about being a teacher is you do get some breaks and just spending some time in prayer and asking God to direct me and our family for 2019 and the youth group. And the Lord just impressed on me two things. Tony, you've got to start the adoption process. You're going to start that adoption process this year. Tony, you've got to go to the doctors. You've got to move forward. And the Lord was very, very clear on that. And I never have heard anything before this. And it's just been very, very hard. And we are in the middle of this. We're actually in the middle of talking with adoption agencies. And we're just waiting. We're waiting. But we believe. We trust God. We love God. And we know that God has an answer. We know that God has a plan for our lives, for our family. And we just trust God. We love God. And it's been hard. It has been very difficult because you can start to question. You can start to question your faith. You can start to question yourself. You can start to question a lot of things, but you've got to believe. You've got to hang on. You've got to hang on to the promises of God. You've got to hang on to His Word and keep pressing on. And in your notes here, these scriptures, we have leaned on these scriptures for a couple of years now. And they're very, very powerful. And Hannah, you probably know the story very well with Samuel and Hannah. But we in particular, this has been like our go-to verses here. So I'm going to go ahead and read out of 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 19. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other one was Peninnah. I always struggle saying that name. Okay, just going to say that. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. So she is waiting. She is waiting. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of prayer. And we're going to continue to pray, my wife and I. And I'm going to tell you, that's one thing that will never cease in our household. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall not come on his head. In verse 19, then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with his wife, Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. This is kind of the portion where Aaron and I are at. We're in that waiting. We're in that time where we can become bitter, where we can start to question our faith. When we can start to question, is there a God? Did Jesus really die? Did Jesus really die on the cross for our sins? we can start to question those things. But I'm going to tell you, our faith has actually gotten stronger through this time. Our faith, our belief has actually gotten stronger. So let's look at the Lord's answer. 1 Samuel, verse 20, and then 26 through 28. It came about in due time. Lord's timing. The Lord's ways, not our ways. After Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." What have you asked God of lately? What are you waiting for? What are you wanting God to do in your life? Are you waiting? Have you come in prayer to God for something, big or small? Okay? Are you daily asking? Okay, I'm not saying like, you know, "Hey Lord, give me $1 million" kind of thing. But I'm talking about the things, the desires of your heart, the things that the Lord has put in your heart. And you've got to come to him. You've got to come. He will answer that door. You've got to come to him in prayer. Verse 26, she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have dedicated him to the Lord." As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord there. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the answer. Now, you do have to have action here. I will say this. The Lord impressed on me to do something and to continue to do something. And you've got to act. And Pastor spoke a few weeks ago about this. You know, we have to do something too. There has to be action. If the Lord is telling you to do something, you've got to do it. Okay, so there is some action along with your faith and prayer. Okay. Now, one thing that I wanted to share too, just to kind of include the entire body, if you're not waiting for a child like Aaron and I, or to go through the adoption process, maybe you're waiting for graduation. Maybe you're a student. Maybe you're waiting to graduate. You just can't wait. Start your career. Maybe you're ready to meet someone to start a marriage, or you're in that process of getting married. A new job, possibly. Financial security, whatever that is, right? You know. Maybe there's a medical issue. Maybe there's some issues that need to be resolved, addressed. Renting versus buying a home. Maybe you're in that process as well. Aaron and I went through that a few years ago. A new car, a child, legal issues. So whatever it is that you're waiting on, you've got to keep the faith. In faith. You've got to keep the faith. You've got to believe God. You've got to believe that he's going to do something, that he's going to move, and that he's going to give you direction. Okay, he will order your steps if you follow him. Okay. I also, when thinking of Hannah, there's always another example that comes to my mind with conception and having a child and having a promise. Because our God is a God of promises. On the back side of your notes, this is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12. And Sarah and Abraham, you know, they were old. They were old. And they were past the age of conception, of having a child. And the Lord actually said, you know, gave a promise to Abraham that, you know, out of you, basically, you know, the children of Israel are going to come out of you. We'll read this. Verse 8 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful, who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So, in faith, and trusting God, and believing in a promise, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the faith and belief and dedication and following the Lord, if it wasn't for Abraham and Sarah. And it is hard. It is hard. It is difficult to wait. But I'm going to tell you that God has a second marshmallow for you. God has a better plan for you. And that second marshmallow, it can wait. Okay? And it is hard and difficult. Now, our response to waiting, and you know, I'm actually moving a lot faster than I thought I would in the message, and that's okay. But our response to waiting. And these are things that Aaron and I have been practicing. Now, some days are a struggle. Some days are better than others. But we, no matter what, we're going to trust God. We're going to love God. We're going to serve God to the best of our ability, no matter what. So our response in waiting. Number one, don't worry. Trust God no matter what. And this has been scriptures that I have hung on to before I even met Aaron. And I struggled with wanting to get to the next stage of my life. I struggled with the preferred future state. And just worrying about what I was going to do. In particular, when I graduated from college, I was struggling finding a social studies position, and I struggled with that. My faith kind of wavered a little bit. Like, you told me to go to college, Lord. You told me to do this. Why am I not finding a position? And just struggled with it. And then the Lord's like, you need to memorize this. You need to follow this. You need to live this out. And this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Sometimes we leave out that part when people are saying, seek first the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, these things will be added. Now, I'm not saying ignore the things that you need to do. Ignore the things that God has called you to do. But stop worrying. Stop freaking out. In the wait, sometimes we want to control things. We want to have control. But in reality, we need to trust God. We need to follow God. We need to follow after his kingdom. And these things will be added to you. Number two, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, Do not turn to the flesh. God has something better. Galatians 5:16-17. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Going back to Abraham, really quick. So Abraham actually, he kind of messed up a little bit before he had the son of promise. And he actually, he did things wrong, and Ishmael was born. And did things the fast, fallacious, fleshly way. Doing it in his own power, doing it in his own timing. Versus doing things in God's time with Sarah, and then Isaac was born. And that's walking with the Spirit. That's walking with God, in tandem with God. And it is hard. It is hard. And you just have to walk in that Spirit, stay close to God every single day. Stay in that Word, stay in that Bible, stay in prayer. Do not divorce yourself from the Spirit of God, because then you're going to start to think crazy. Fourth thing, believe, third thing, believe that God who saved you, hears your cries. So this is out of Micah 7:7, and I love this. This would be a great memory verse. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. One of the very first sermons, messages that got ingrained into my heart with Pastor Ron here, he taught on the patience of God, and he talked about the ways of God. And the ways of God are slow, steady, and sure. And that was something that got ingrained in me. And we've got to wait. And Pastor also shared something about apek dekomai, eagerly waiting. Now that's talking about the second return, of course. But it's still in there, that concept of eagerly waiting. We need to wait on God. And He is listening. He can hear your cries. If you are alone, you're in bitterness, you're praying, there's tears, like Hannah, He is listening. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're suffering through. And He will give you an answer. There is hope. There is hope. And then four here, resist fretting, refrain from anger, be still, and choose patience. Now, this psalm, it's kind of neat. Psalm 37:7-8, it's like, okay, this is perfect, perfect. So Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads to only evil doing. So when you start to worry, when you start to just freak out about whatever you're going through, and you're leaving God out of the equation, if you're not resting in God, for His yoke is easy, His burden is light. If you're not taking rest in that, you are going to go crazy. You are going to go nuts. You're going to live your life in fear. You're going to live your life in bondage to whatever it is that you're going through. And it's not fun. It is not fun. I will go the way of the Lord compared to my way. And my way is not good, by the way. And then lastly, this is not in your notes here. Number five, do not make what you are waiting for your idol. This is actually out of Isaiah 2, verse 8. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So I'm gonna say this. The thing that you're hoping for, the thing that you're wanting, whatever it is, retirement, a new car, house, whatever, okay? It could be good in and of itself, but it can also become an idol. It could be something that you worship, that you put on a pedestal above God. And that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. Yes, he wants to fulfill the desires of our hearts. Yes, he wants to give us what we want in quotes. But it could become idol worship. And that is that's just against God's ways. So don't make what you're wanting something that's just higher and bigger and better than God. Because there's nothing bigger or greater or more powerful than God. I'm going to tell you. And just to kind of sum up and end here, my God, our God, is the God of hope. Our God is the God of promises. Our God, he loves us. We are his children. And he's got our back 100%. And if you are struggling with waiting for something that you want an answer for, I understand. Hey, I understand. But I'm going to tell you, God has an answer. God has a way. And it may not seem right to a man, but it's right to him. Trust him. Follow after him. Drop your nets like the disciples did and follow after God 100%. And I'm going to tell you that your life will be a lot easier, even though it might be harder, if that makes any sense. So with that, I am going to close in prayer. Thank you for listening. And it was very difficult for me to share this with the youth and with you all. But Aaron and I, we, like I said, we're faithful. We're still believing, praying, and God has a plan. God has a plan. So I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just dedicate our lives, God, our plans, our dreams, our goals, our wants, our desires, Lord, to you. If we are in a season of waiting, if we are in a season of wanting an answer, Lord, if we're in a season of waiting on you to do something or to give guidance, I just pray 100% trust in you, God. 100% follow after you, and everything else shall be added to us. Follow after your righteousness, your kingdom, Lord, and your kingdom will come in our lives. And just allow us, Lord, to be humbled by that, Lord, and just come to the cross daily with our needs, big or small, Father God. And just thank you for this time. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your family, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.